present the News Quiz and your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to another perusal of the week's news, starting with a boxing latest from the Times.
The manager of German boxer Graziano Rocligiani has pulled his fighter out of his European title contest with Alex Blanchard of the Netherlands next month after he was seriously injured in a fight with his girlfriend.
Darren Gunson and H.G. Knight provided us with that. And grappling with each other this week, figuratively, of course, to my right, we have two elderly retired ex-editors in their bath chairs, Richard Ingrams of Private Eye and William Deeds of the Daily Telegraph. To my left, I'm pleased to say, we have the Shadow Chancellor, Roy Hattersley, and the shadow of his former self, Alan Corran. Round one now, which we begin with news of a superhuman feat from Cornwall.
Super dad John Knight fathered 21 children by two women while running between their homes on Bodmin Moor.
Thank you, the Belfast newsletter, for that report. And we kick off, as usual, with Richard Ingrams. Richard, why is it a safe bet that the government are now on course to make a few new friends?
Because the Chancellor of the Exchequer decided that people will no longer be taxed for their bets at race meetings. There's a whole lot more, which Mr. Hattersley will tell us about.
Would you like me to write
it? Good, but a whole lot more, yes.
It is, of course, all about the budget and the news that even bookies are to benefit from the Chancellor's all-encompassing pre-election generosity. Although, of course, a few opposition voices did point out that the giveaway budget contains absolutely nothing for the hard-pressed unemployed in the shadow cabinet. And we're pleased to welcome the long-serving editor of the Daily Telegraph, Bill Deeds. Bill, if you see Sid, why might you tell him to shell out for more gas?
If I saw...
who? We're on a winner here, folks.
I see. Are we into oil shares?
We are.
Yes. Very surprising, that, I thought, and a little suspicious. seemed to come at a very late hour, and as I understood it, there were four people in the house at the time. How could this come about? I think it lies with other people to explain what went on. I don't belong to that place anymore.
Yes, it's another fine idea from the government. This time to sell off BP to the private sector in the hope of amassing a staggering 5 billion sherry glasses. And amid this atmosphere of pre-election euphoria, we welcome Roy Hattersley to the programme. Roy, can you tell us about the other Chancellor who was first past the post this week?
Yeah, that's Mr. Roy Jenkins, elected, as you would expect, to the top job in the place that Matthew Arnold called the Home of Lost Causes. The reason he got elected, I can reveal. They thought if they didn't elect him to the top job, he'd go away and found a university of his own.
Yes, it was, of course, Roy Jenkins of the SDP, first past the post in the poll for Oxford University's chancellorship, thanks to an outdated electoral system that enabled him to split the Conservative vote. But Jenkins allayed right-wing fears with his inaugural speech, which stressed the traditional values of reading, writing and arithmetic, or, as he puts it, the three W's. Oh, would that he were here tonight. And... to conclude round one, a ditty for Alan Corran.
Yes, the pig got up and slowly walked away. Slowly walked away. Slowly walked away. Yes, the pig got up and smiled and winked at me as he slowly walked away.
Alan, who didn't have to bring home the bacon? It was there waiting for him.
This is a political round. I ought to have a political pig of some kind. A couple kept a pig in a council flat.
When they should have kept the colour in the bath, as everybody knows.
Well, the thing is, there will be piggist councils, as you and I know, up and down the country, will be absolutely incensed the pig was thrown out. Their name was Smith. That stuck in the mind. You actually saw them writing out this application form for the supplementary benefits of this thing. John Smith. Pig. But anyway, that's what they had.
I think the only political element in it was the pig's name was Winston.
Really?
Oh, God.
The neighbours only detected it when they found it smoking a cigar in the bath. Where was it?
It's all about pigs on Bristol Council, who've objected to Steve and Sue Smith keeping their pet porker Winston in their fifth floor flat. But you'll be pleased to hear that at the last minute the councillors have relented and have now said that Winston can stay in the deep freeze in handy bite-sized chunks.
But
it's the end of round one and the score, 4-4. Round two now, which we begin with young Ingrams. Richard, why will Her Britannic Majesty be scrutinising passengers from Tel Aviv more circumspectly in future?
We have a royal visitor coming to our shores in the person of the King of the Arabs. And he's extremely fat. So am I allowed to say that on this program?
The fact that it's the wrong answer doesn't disqualify you.
I want to go on with this story because it is very interesting. When he steps off the boat, they were frightened that the steps might break. That may be wrong, but it's more amusing than what...
Don't you read a different newspaper from the one I read?
I only read The Independent nowadays. I'm a bit out of touch.
It's all about the Israeli Secret Service, who've been caught out supplying their agents with forged British passports. Suspicious customs officers noted that the passage beginning Her Britannic Majesty requests was written from right to left. Bill Deeds, your question. Who was caught in the nick after time?
I thought David Steele looked extremely embarrassed, but it wasn't quite the same thing, was it?
No, no.
I was more caught in the cleft this than in nick, David.
Cleft, sir.
Yes, the cleft stick. We know about Bishop Thorford.
Do you?
We thought it was still sub judice, as indeed was the policewoman in question, being underneath a number of senior coppers at the time.
Is it that one?
Well, I don't want to say any more about that, because the full force of the law, and Judge Argyle will be down on me like a... I shall be hanging by the end of the programme.
The answer is several officers from Bishop's Thorpe police station, who were caught on video doing naughty things on the night shift, over and above the call of duty, and more to the point, over and above a rickety ping-pong table. And now some more harmonious, tuneful music for Roy Hattersley. Roy, who heard the bells and came out fighting?
My difficulty is I can't read Alan Collins' writing.
My difficulty is not enough people want to.
But my strength is I act as a laurel to his Harding.
Wrong way around, isn't it? It's Hardy and Hardy, actually, however.
See what trouble this question's got me into.
Where's a row in Devon about bell ringers? A bunch of bell ringers were chucked out of the church by the vicar on the grounds that they never came to any services. They just liked ringing bells. And they counterclaimed by saying that the smell of his incense made them sick. He then went to a neighbouring village and got another team. The senior bell ringer of the incense-hating evicted bell ringers, hearing this from his cottage, went rushing round to the church and attempted to thump the new bell ringer, and was instead thumped by the vicar.
That's exactly right. Perfect. Alan, your proper question now. Can you tell us why the jet set are sticking fast to an in-flight film?
In-flight. He is doing the sign of a seagull. God, it's terrible. You root around in this lumber room in the head trying to find something with wings.
Try aeroplanes. They have wings. NASA have discovered that planes travel faster if the fuselage and windows are wrapped up in sellotape. Or scotch tape, if you're listening to this on British Caledonian. In fact, it's an idea that Aeroflot have been using for years. Except they used it instead of rivets. However, the scores are Richard and Bill 4, but Alan and Roy in the lead with 6. Round 3 now, and we're back to Belfries once again with a worrying tale from the animal kingdom.
Half a dozen bats have been found dead in Empingham Church. It's believed to be the worst year in memory for bat morality there.
And that came courtesy of the Leicester Mercury and an unidentified listener. Richard, where would an artist with Turner's background see a hue and cry?
Is it artistic, this question?
It is artistic. It is the Turner.
The Turner, yes, well, there you are. What a good painter he was, J.M.W. Turner. Very good.
I don't think you need to go on beyond that. Let's drain the answer.
Do we think it's Waterloo Bridge?
That was Constable.
No. Turner's Waterloo Bridge is up for sale. And it's
no, it's nothing to do with Waterloo.
That is Constable's Waterloo Bridge. Not Turner.
What?
It's Constable. I keep saying you. Anyway, get on with it. Let's have the answer.
Right. Yes, sir. It's the new Turner Gallery extension to the Tate. Apparently, J.M.W. Turner wanted his paintings hanging on a strong coloured background, but the architect James Stirling has made it a wishy-washy buff colour for aesthetic reasons. Apparently had a lot of emulsion left over from his last job. Now, a piece of music for Bill Deeds.
How could you believe me when I said I love you, when you know I've been a liar all my life?
You've had that reputation since you was a youth.
You must have been insane to think I'd tell you the truth.
Where would an employee find a liar to put in a good word for him? And it's from the Daily Telegraph.
Not in my office.
Is it this ratbag mate of Reagan's called, is it Beaker, who's being done for perjury?
No.
No.
No, we don't know that one.
Well, it's, you see, even I read this. It's a group of initials that help people to give people...
What are you talking about?
It happened in America, where Professor Robert Thornton has devised the liar system of ambiguous job references. What? Give it its full title, The Lexicon of Inconspicuously Ambiguous Recommendations, is a collection of double-edged comments that enable a boss to write a critical reference for an employee without getting sued.
You were right. We should have worked that out. We really
did. Yes.
I'll give you a few examples.
We never look at the headlines. We always go for the little things on the back pages.
Let me press on and give you some examples. I am pleased to say that this candidate is a former colleague of mine. Another one, I most enthusiastically recommend this candidate with no qualifications whatsoever.
I recommend that you give this candidate a berth, especially if it's a wide one.
Back to Roy now.
Oh, God.
With hope burgeoning. Roy, which party leader was caught lying down on the job this week?
Well, it's the picture that's been on the front of all the tabloid newspapers, and on some of the big newspapers ought to know better, which is Mr. David Steele, who, according to the story, went to a party and a lady tried to pick him up. But not pick him up in the way that you and I understand the expression. Yes. Tried to lift him bodily from the ground, and found that he was too much of a heavyweight for her to carry. Not believable, is it?
Well,
he hit his head on the floor.
It didn't hurt him.
And it didn't hurt him. No, it didn't. It didn't. Really didn't. He didn't know about it till they told him.
Are you sure that wasn't David Owen in drab?
The story is that David Steele only left when somebody said, is there a doctor in the house?
Seeing how well you did on the last aeroplane question, Alan, here's another one.
Oh, good.
Can you tell us the one about the Irishman who raced to Cheltenham only to be brought down on the first flight?
Is it about horse riding?
Is there anything going on at Chelten this week?
Yes, it's going over? Eventually horse riding comes into it.
Eventually?
Well, I mean...
How long have we got? I mean, this is an Irish jockey.
An Irishman on an aeroplane.
An Irishman went into a chemist shop.
That's right.
Presumably it's a jockey.
Roy, you can write. Why don't you write it down for him?
You can have got the wrong answer if it's
about that. Has it a liar on his head, isn't it?
I have no idea. Nobody knows.
You're desperate if you're looking at me.
Yes. I know, it's the last... the last desperate shot in the locker.
Why isn't it the naked streaker at Cheltenham?
We're not allowed to say naked streakers
no,
this week.
Only liberal leaders this week. The only filth.
Sorry to have lowered the tone, I'm sure.
Let me tell you, it's about... an Irishman, Peter Phillips, who boarded a Spanish plane at Dublin Airport instead of one bound for Birmingham and Cheltenham races. Asked why he'd failed to notice that he was on the wrong plane, he said, "Well, I did ask, but I couldn't understand what anybody said as they were all speaking in Spanish." And that's that. And that's an all-time low, I might tell you. Richard and Bill, 4. Alan and Roy, 8. Round 4 now, and a cutting from the Evening Standard that will please every hardened Desert Island Discs fan.
Former producer Derek Drescher says he can't be blamed for the appointment of Michael Parkinson as the program's presenter. I discussed the appointment with David Hatch, the controller of Radio 4, whose decision it was. I thought it would be nice if we had a woman. In the end, we compromised.
I think Richard Ingram should do it. At least it would get him off the news quiz. Richard Need of Kingston upon Thames was the man who sent us that cutting, by the way. But now, some music for you, Richard.
The girl that I marry will have to be as soft and as pink as a nurse.
Richard, can you tell us... can you tell us who became a much married couple on the first occasion?
Is it this Deacon Ett lady? These women vicars are being sort of slowly filtered in to the C of E in the hope that we won't notice that they've arrived. She called herself the Rev, but she then simply called she's Mrs. Much. Her name, Rev Much. Revette Muchet was allowed to preside at this wedding of 50 million television cameras.
Did you notice the bridegroom wore a pink bow tie?
Did he?
I thought that was off the wedding.
Frank Muir always wears a pink bow tie.
Is he allowed to take weddings now?
Well, he's certainly old enough to. Final question for Bill Deeds, and it's this. Bill, why are the... why are the Furry Dice Brigade breaking down in tears?
I think you've got it in for me tonight. I feel unfairly treated, really.
I knew it was a Palermo. Anybody know the answer?
I mean, it could be anything. I mean, is it the end of the Ford Capri?
Yes.
Oh, Bill Deeds can't be. He has never driven along behind anyone. He's never driven with Furry Dice or any other. These are things which dangle in your car. I mean, if you're young, they dangle.
Nothing dangles in my car.
You
You see, we remove condoms, and what do we get?
My partner wants to know where they... It's terrible. We have a distinguished newspaper editor and a great politician, and they are so out of touch with the common people.
Many of the voters of this country, Roy,
buy furry dice from shops in Regent Street, and they hang them over their mirrors.
This enables them...
I'm going to tax somebody when I come Chancellor of the Exchequer.
When you become Chancellor of the Exchequer, many of us have to rely on dice.
Demand a recap. They hang them over the mirrors of the Ford Capri. The Ford Capri is a car that carries working class people.
It's a foreign car that carries.
No, it's what? It's
a German engine. It's a German engine.
I thought you had one of those constituencies where they make these bloody things.
I have one of those constituencies where they make British cars.
It's a British car!
They're nowhere without three busty researchers from the LSE, are they? You get them out here on their own. It's terrible.
Can I get my three busty researchers on the way out?
Yes.
David Steele hasn't got them.
No.
Yes, it's about the end of the Ford Capri. People who drive them will have to have somewhere else to hang their dice.
Yes. I think we'll leave it at that. And get back to you, Roy, with this question. Which Red Star supporter feels at home with Wigan?
I haven't got the faintest idea.
If you get towards soccer. You'll be on to it.
Like Sheffield Wednesday, but better.
I don't mind these jokes about the Labour Party, but these jokes about Sheffield Wednesday are really going to...
Yes.
No, I know the answer. Leeds.
In the name of God,
Leeds.
Give it them.
Leeds.
Yeah.
No, it's not the answer.
He discovered subsequently.
Well, I thought it was just about Wigan being knocked out of the FA Cup.
If it's about them being knocked out of the FA Cup, it's about Leeds who knocked them out of the FA Cup.
No,
I'm not prepared to be treated like this.
In a land far away, there is a gentleman who runs a country by the name of Mikhail Gorbachev. And Mikhail Gorbachev
but he doesn't
is a Wigan supporter.
I think it's Wogan. I think you've read it out wrong.
Oh, I see, yes.
He's a Wogan fan.
Yeah.
Not Wigan.
Yes, Mikhail Gorbachev supports 3rd Division Wogan Athletic. But finally, we turn to Alan Coram with this. Alan, who got a frosty reception when he tried to break into the car business?
David? Frosty?
No. Colin Baggs.
Colin Baggs?
Not so smart when he has to answer the question.
Colin Baggs was a clue, was it?
The answer. Colin Baggs was the arm?
I can't.
Thief Colin Baggs not only succeeded in breaking into an unmarked police car, but also failed to observe that two plainclothes policemen were sitting inside. Baggs told true magistrates that he hadn't seen the officers because the windows were so heavily steamed up. It was probably a night patrol from Bishop Stork's. And that's where at last we draw breath and turn to Richard Ingrams and ask, have you got a cutting for us, Richard?
It's an unfortunate obituary notice from the Mail Hartlepool. which records the death of a gentleman who died peacefully in hospital, sadly pissed.
Bill, have you got a copy for us?
Well, it starts slow, but it comes up good at the end. Way down held a fox, and hounds ran through to West Haywood before returning to Way Down and crossing to Bickham Wood, then hunting on to Timberscombe Wood. You need to follow this closely. From there, they returned to Bickham Wood and ran on to Smelly Coombe, where the scent failed completely.
Roy, it's a review of a book, The Evolution of the Insect Mating Systems, the authors of which are Randy Thornhill and John Alcock.
Alan, what have you got for us?
Actor Michael Caine has returned after years of exile in America and bought a £1 million Oxfordshire mansion and a £500,000 Riverside flat in Chelsea. I miss England, and I want my daughter Natasha to have a working class background.
That brings us to the end of the contest. The final score is Richard and Bill well earned 6, but Alan and Roy were winners this week with 9. Well done. And we leave you with a tale of dubious farming practices in Dorset, spotted by Timothy Edwards in the Ramblers Association Journal.
Dorset County Council has said that it is not an offence to keep a Hereford bull in a field with cows, but it will take up the matter of the bulls which were found alone with the farmers concerned. Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, Bill Deeds, Alan Corran, and Roy Hattersley. The chairman was Barry Took, and the news was read by me, Peter Donaldson. The program was written and compiled by John Langdon with the producer, Harry Thompson.